Scripture reading will be from Romans chapter 12. This is the first of two sermons from this chapter that I'm doing as introduction to our family visiting theme for the coming season. The elders have chosen the verses 3 through 9 as what we will be reading and discussing together in our various homes. We'll start reading at verse 12 and go through verse 13. I believe our text is the verses 3 through 13. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. May God bless to us the reading of his most holy word. Dear people of God, called to be saints, the Apostle Paul, in this chapter, after having instructed us in the gospel, in light of all that Christ has done for us, he calls us to not allow ourselves in our thinking, in our conduct, in our attitudes to be shaped and to be determined by the fads and trends of our culture and society. But rather, he says, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the mind of Christ, as that is revealed in the Word. And this is something that we will be dealing with in family visiting, as I mentioned, with the hope that increasingly together we may be of one mind, that increasingly we may grow as one holy people united together, a people distinct in this world. We're not following the pattern of the world, we're following Christ so that we might become more Christ-like. And the focus of that is, of course, is not so that we may receive the glory and say, look at us, but so that Christ may receive the praise and the glory. And that's why Paul, immediately after these first two verses, he says, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And we must remember that this passage has both a corporate intent, but it also has individual applications. You know very well that the Apostle Paul was a very learned, gifted, experienced man, and yet he always calls himself a servant. He's always aware that he's a servant sent by God, by God's grace. In other words, he has no authority in himself. He knows, he's very conscious of the fact that he was, before his conversion, a persecutor of the church. He considers himself to be the chief of sinners. Yes, he's an apostle, sent by Almighty God to the Gentiles. But he always reminds his readers that he is this apostle, he is this servant by grace. We saw that in our series on Ephesians in chapter 3, very clearly. He's been given this message by grace. He's been given this ministry by grace. And we, like him, no matter what our background, no matter what sin we have come out of, no matter what sins we are still overcoming, we who confess Christ, we who believe in Christ, are given the right to become, to be sons of God. We are given the grace to be prophets, priests, and kings, to serve for his glory in this world. And if we are to serve for his glory in this world, and the apostle says, we have to have a very sober view of ourselves. And by sober, he doesn't mean somber. Right? He means we have to have a very level-headed, serious, sensible view of ourselves. And by that, he really means we must be seeing ourselves from the point of view of Scripture. We must see ourselves in biblical perspective. We have a natural temptation to pride. We may not like to admit that, but it is true. We can so easily, because we do something right or because we believe the right things, or that, you know, we do good things, that we are better than some other people. We know the truth. We have had victory over sin. We work hard to earn our money. We are very careful to stay out of trouble. We are good people. And sometimes we can see other people who are yet really struggling with life, struggling with anything from finances to particular sins. They don't enjoy the things that we enjoy, the blessings we have. And we can actually look down on them as if it's, well, they are not working hard enough. They're not applying themselves properly. They're not using all that they're given, and that's why they're in the situation they're at. We can look down. And yet, no matter how we cut it, all of our hard work, all of our striving to be good, all of our intellectual abilities, all our good works, all our success financially, all our success in terms of our families, or in any other way, doesn't make us superior one little bit. Doesn't make us any better. It is true that we do enjoy things that others do not. We here have been privileged with things that other people don't enjoy. But we can't think of ourselves as more highly than others because of these things. Because what we have, the privileges we enjoy, the success we have seen, is all a gift of grace. It's all a gift of grace. You see, pride, like I've been talking about, is a worldly attitude. You know that in our society there are certain moral codes. Some of those moral codes are so high that people can assume that these people are Christians simply because they're living in conformity with some aspects of God's law. The problem often is that in the world, is that they often know, or at least think themselves to be good. Whether conservative, whether liberal, it doesn't matter. They think they know what life is about, and they think that people who don't see things the way they see them are barbarians, they're fools, they're ignorant. Just an illustration, meaning no disrespect. But the way our president speaks of others is arrogant and a put down of others. It's a bad example. It's a worldly attitude. But it's not just his alone. Pride and self-satisfaction is common. People think they are good because they have accomplished something. They have done something. They have learned something that raises them above others. And they think that people should look up to them because of what they know or what they've accomplished. And while we should be very grateful for what good people do accomplish, and it is true that we need some good role models, we have to be careful of thinking about people who are not as accomplished as in any way lesser than we are. In the world, as with Christians, it's easy to give the impression that we think we're better than others because of what we know, because of what we think, because of what we've done, because of what we've achieved. But it's not true. While we may have accomplished many things, what we have accomplished is of grace, not a matter of personal goodness. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders toil in vain. As Christians, we must remember that we live by grace and grace alone, not by our own personal goodness and our own efforts. Oh, indeed, we must work hard. There's no doubt about that. But our working is not simply to advance ourselves. It is for God's glory and the advancement of his church and kingdom. For us, Christ is all and is to be in all. Everything we have comes through him, through his mercy, and through his grace. The Apostle Paul understood that very well. And he understands that humility is an essential Christian trait. If you go on the Sermon on the Mount, that's where Christ starts, isn't it? Those who are poor in spirit. Humility. Very serious thinking about ourselves. Well, that's often regarded as weakness in our world. We are encouraged to self-pride, to discover ourselves, to dig down deep inside and let who we are come to expression, because that's good. You see, God made us, and so everything that comes out has got to be good, because God doesn't make bad things. And self-esteem and self-expression, these are common terms and ideas. And the belief is that no one but I have the right to determine who I want to be and how I should live. I'm the Lord. I'm the king of my life. I have read someone saying that as parents, Christian parents, should not be teaching children the Bible, because if you teach them the Bible, it will cramp their creativity. It will interfere with their emotional development. And your talk of sin from the Bible will restrict them and will deny them their selves. They think that's bad for personal stability. The Apostle Paul says, be transformed in your thinking. And he sets forth some pretty stark principles. First of all, life is all of grace and faith. Righteousness is a gift. All that we enjoy comes down from the Father of lights. Of ourselves, we are sinners, deserving nothing. And we are to see ourselves as sinners saved by grace, and that we live by grace. So that's where he starts. Think seriously about who we are. And if you do, that pride should recede into the background, and you will glory in Christ and be increasingly Christ-like. Second principle is that we, he says, are all members one of another. We are all members one of another. We're connected. And that what connects us is not our level of education. It's not a cultural background that we all share. It's not common gifts. It's not common lifestyles. It's not any common interest, really, not a common financial situation in the world. But what connects us together is our relationship to Jesus Christ, our head. Now, we very naturally look up to people who are gifted in particular areas. And we can very quickly, because we don't particularly have those gifts, think of ourselves as unimportant. We can think that because I'm not the eye of the body, I really don't belong. Or I'm simply not important, and so I just stay in the background. I don't volunteer myself. We can look down on ourselves because we don't share the gifts that other people have. Even worse, we can together develop an attitude of looking down on others who do not share our interests, our gifts, or who are not involved in the things that we are involved in. I've seen this before, where if you're not involved in a particular political action, well, these people aren't living up to your expectations. Or those people would say, well, if you're not involved in this particular educational thing, then you're not up to the level you should be. And we're, you know, people will judge each other very quickly because they're not involved all in the same things. And the Apostle Paul said, no, a sober view of yourselves. Think seriously from a biblical point of view. First of all, humility. But secondly, understand you are members of one another as of one body. Whatever we have is of grace. And that grace has been shown to each one of us. And each one of us has been gifted in that grace to be of service and of support for the body. And if we tend to elevate ourselves above others because we don't think they have the gifts that we think they should, or because they haven't attained to what we think we have attained, then we're forgetting that what we have is a gift of grace. And we are forgetting that God very deliberately brings people into the church of various gifts, of various backgrounds, of various struggles, in order that together, working together as a body, we may build each other up as each one does his share. And we should never glorify some gifts at the expense of gifts given to others. Some people think that if they're on the mission committee, well, that's an important committee. That's more important than if you're on the maintenance committee. Maintenance? What's that? You fix a few things here and there. But of course, without maintenance of our facilities, our mission and our worship can be hindered. It's not helped. We tend to think that everyone should develop the same gifts, even though the Bible says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were a mouth, where would the hands be? We are to have a sober judgment of ourselves. We have been brought out of darkness into light in order to serve. Who we are is a gift of grace. The abilities we have been given is a gift of grace. Where we are placed is a gift of God's grace. The mission we are called to is a gift of grace. And the people we are put together with is a gift of grace. And we must never think that what we have is intended just for ourselves. We are anointed in Christ to be prophets, priests, and kings. Prophets proclaiming his message. Priests sacrificing ourselves for the sake of others. And kings bringing all things into subjection to Christ for God's glory. This is a gift, a great privilege of grace. We look at each other, you see, from a heavenly point of view. And when we do this, we do not get big-hearted, or big-headed, I should say, and cold-hearted. We do not think that because we have grown up in the church that we are better than those who are just coming to the faith. Or that because we have overcome certain sins, that we are better than those whom are yet struggling with those sins. And sometimes we can act as if people who are still struggling with sin have no place in the church. They first got to overcome, and then we will welcome them in. I don't know where that would put us. We all deserve nothing, according to the word. We deserve death. So how can we look down on anyone? Since all have been given gifts according to God's measure and for his purpose, we view them in that light. And because we do not have gifts of some others, we may not think too lowly of ourselves or of our place. And by the way, there is a danger to a reverse kind of pride. I don't have that gift that is so prominent that some other people have. I'm not educated like some other people have or are. And therefore, we can almost think ourselves as better because we see things from a more down-to-earth point of view, and they've got their heads in the clouds. And, you know, it becomes a reverse kind of pride. We pride ourselves in our lack of education. And this has no place in the Church of Jesus Christ. Since we deserve nothing, we look down on no one. God Almighty in Christ by His Spirit has adopted us as children. He's called us together into His family. He's commissioned us into His service. This is an incredible privilege of grace. And we must look at ourselves and each other in this light. Paul says we have to view each other according to the measure of faith given, verse 3. And when Paul says according to the measure of faith given, he's not thinking, first of all, of the amount of faith. As if, okay, that person has to do a lot because he's a lot stronger in faith and I just have a little bit of faith so I don't have to do much. That's not the kind of thing that the apostle is talking about. He's talking about the measure of faith that God has given, namely, the faith once delivered. The faith as it has been revealed to the prophets and the apostles. So we do not rate ourselves, therefore, in terms of our possessions, our influence, our law-keeping, our charitable giving, and we don't rate other people on that level as well. Again, we've received all we have by grace through the Spirit, and in humility, do not elevate ourselves above others, but rather esteem others as better than ourselves. In light of the word, recognizing the variety of gifts, always seeking to use our gifts together for others for the sake of advancing God's glory. That's the biblical view. That's what's been given. The Bible gives us this same view of ourselves, showing us to be servant sons for His glory. And so we never rate ourselves above others, but understand that all have different gifts, and we welcome all to our ministry and mission. We understand not everybody can play the organ like Miss Barbara. Not everybody can be an elder like Mr. Tony. Not everybody can be a teacher in Sunday school. And that doesn't insult anybody. And it doesn't take away from the fact that we are yet all equal before the eyes of our Father in heaven. You see, each one of us is a servant. And we are members one of another. And just as all members of the body do not have the same function, so we have a variety of functions, and we welcome them all. And unless we take this view of ourselves, our service to God will be incomplete. There are people who think that because, in their view, they have certain gifts, they should be in certain positions. And then if they don't get those positions, then they can be very critical of others. Generally, that kind of pride does not go far in terms of our witness for Christ or in terms of building up the church. God desires us simply to work together and live together in harmony, each one having a part, until we become a mature body, as we are called to be according to the whole measure and stature of Christ. Without this respect for each other, we will not grow as a vibrant witness for Christ. So God has given a variety, a diversity of gifts, opportunities, and understandings. He calls us, ironically, to be of one mind. That's not my mind. And it's not your mind. It's the mind of Christ. Real diversity, but we have to be following the thinking in the mind of Christ. And that mind transformed by the very word of Christ. He's not calling us all to be carbon copies of each other. That's why I like the fact that we call ourselves, even in terms of the United Reformed Churches, as a federation, not a denomination. Denomination is like dollar bills. Everything's the same except for the serial number. It's not the way we view ourselves as a church, as a federation. There's a diversity, and that's a good thing. And each one must serve according to the grace and the faith given. And if they don't know how they are to serve, they think, well, I don't know what my gift is. Don't fret it. Volunteer yourself. Get involved in the life of the church. Others will see your gifts, and you will be eventually put where you can serve most effectively. We accept each other humbly, regarding each other better than ourselves, and we honor people's gifts. We utilize those gifts for the best advancement of the ministry. That's one of the functions that elders should have, is that they find out where people's gifts are, and they use them in that capacity. And if this isn't happening, we will fail in our mission. That's when evangelism doesn't get done. That's when missions fail. That's when justice is not shown. That's when facilities run down. That's when we go astray in doctrine or in practice. That's when we fail in discipline. If we do not use the gifts God has given each one of us to unitedly serve Him. Our children are part of this. By virtue of the covenant. And as we raise them, we train them to take an active part in the life of the church, to embrace Christ with the living faith, and to use their abilities, all of their abilities, for God's praise and glory. And the elderly are also a part of this, perhaps not quite as active as before, but still using their times and their gifts as they are able. Each one of us serves in humility, in the position and the place that God has given us by His grace. And again, if you wonder what your gift is, and you believe in the forgiveness of your sins, and you believe in the hope of new life, in His righteousness, then just walk in step with the Spirit, living by the Word. Immerse yourself in the worship of God with His people. Immerse yourself in the service of God with His people. And your gift will come to light. According to the trust we have in the Word, we will serve. Next week we are going to continue this subject. But in humility, what is necessary is that we surrender ourselves to Christ and find the fullness of our life in Him, just as Nathaniel and Ben talked about. And they agreed to. Any who do not devote themselves to His service, no matter how young or old, no matter how sanctified we may be or may not be, when we devote ourselves to Christ, I've got to restate that again. That we who devote ourselves to His service, no matter how young or old, no matter how sanctified we are or unsanctified at this point, we will make a beginning of service to bring glory to God. Again, Nathaniel and Ben have professed their faith in Christ, and they have joined us to serve as a body of Christ. They're not telling us they've arrived, and we're not telling them we've arrived. But together we have said to each other that we will use whatever God has given us to advance His cause and His glory in the world. To God be the glory. Amen.